There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
So, road safety experts in Dubai welcoming the announcement that the speed limit, it was yesterday, on Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Road and the Emirates Road is going to be reduced from 120 kilometres an hour to 110. It's going to happen next month. Mohammed Suleiman is here. Nice to see you, Mohammed. So, how much of a problem is speeding here in Dubai? It is, of course, a rhetorical question, but this is the point, isn't it?
Right, so we know that speeding along with sudden swerving and tailgating is one of the top three causes of road traffic accidents here in Dubai. According to Dubai Police, 15 people died last year because of motorists driving too fast. We also know that Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Road and Emirates Road are two of the most deadly and dangerous roads in Dubai. Police have told us that in 2016, 33 people were killed on the E311, while 29 people died on Emirates Road. So you can see why the authorities have taken this step to reduce the speed limit on both these roads from 120 kilometers per hour to 110.
Okay, Mohammed, so we know that this new rule will see the speed limit change, and that's on the E311 and the 611. It's now being reduced down to 110 kilometres an hour. What are road safety experts here saying about the change?
Right, so they're saying that even a reduction of 10 kilometres per hour on the speed limit will go a long way in bringing down the number of accidents on both roads. So they have welcomed it, but they're also saying that more still needs to be done. Now, earlier today, I spoke with Bill Carter, who is the Deputy General Manager at Autodata Middle East. He told me that while the move is a big step in the right direction, there is still a long way to go.
Certainly, if they're travelling at a lower speed, then it may not be quite as much of a problem as it is now. At the moment, we have this situation where there is 120 kilometres per hour speed limit, but the cameras are set at 20 kilometres an hour over that, which, you know, to be honest, I would sooner see the speed limit set at 120 kilometres an hour and just a normal 10% margin, which is what you would get in most other countries. At the moment, everybody knows that the cameras are set at 141 or whatever, and so they drive at that speed. I think it would be far better if they actually force the speed limits to be what they actually are.
It's interesting, that, isn't it? Because we're all very aware of that grace limit. There's lots of discussion around it. I mean, in theory, if it's 120, it's 140. If it's now going to be 110, it's 130. Mohammed.
Yeah, I was actually doing some research earlier today about grace speed limits on roads across the world, and I found out that the UAE is actually one of only about three or four countries where you can get away with driving 20 kilometers per hour over the legal speed limit. It's easily one of the highest in the world. The average grace limit in most countries is about 10 kilometers per hour, although there are exceptions. There are parts of Australia where radars will catch you if you're going just 3 kilometers over the speed limit. In Belgium and Italy also, it's 6 kilometers, so it does vary, but I think by most standards, 20 kilometers per hour is quite high. But who knows? I mean, maybe the next change in the law will be a reduction in the grace limit, so we'll just have to wait and see about that.
So we know this is changing the speed, Mohammed, but beyond changing legislation, what else are they suggesting needs to be done to make the roads here a bit safer?
Right, so the name of the game is awareness. Road safety experts are saying that educating drivers is the only way to really implement long-term change and make the roads safer. Whether it's educating people about the dangers of not wearing seatbelts or the repercussions of speeding and tailgating, they say motorists need to be effectively given the right message. So here's Bill Carter from Autodata Middle East once again explaining why awareness is the way forward.
This is a subject we regularly speak about, and my view hasn't changed. It is really about educating people about how they should drive safely. Regularly see people changing lanes without indicating or driving, you know, cutting across 6 lanes because they suddenly decide they want an exit, or even, you know, sitting in lane 3 doing 40 kilometres an hour and people have got to try and get around them. It's, again, an education process that is needed.
It's Bill Carter from Autodata, a regular guest on this program, regular voice on Dubai Eye. Road safety experts in Dubai welcome the announcement. What's happening is the speed limit on Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Road and the Emirates Road is going to be reduced from 120 kilometres an hour to 110 from next month. What date next month, Mohammed?
Right, so this new speed limit will officially come into effect on October the 15th. So from that date onwards, the fastest that you can legally drive on the E311 and E611 is going to be 130 kilometres per hour.
Okay, so let's go around the room. NLT, good news?
Yes, I think. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Sally Musa, good news?
I agree with Bill about the grace period, the grace amount. It doesn't make sense to me as somebody who comes from Australia. There is no grace amount. Mm. The speed limit is the speed limit. So That's okay. What it should be.
Marco Tennyson, why not just reduce the 20 kilometres margin by 10 everywhere? Then you wouldn't have to change the signs, I suppose, which is, I hadn't thought that
the,
way.
But the thing is, though, that's applying to two busy roads. If you change it by 10 everywhere and people have maybe been here once before, or you're changing a whole raft of roads there. So people might argue, oh, maybe. Well, I can't quite remember this. At least with two, there's clear signs and you know what the uniform grace period or the grace speed rather is. I do. Okay. But I mean, in the UK, there's a grace speed of 10%, isn't there?
Is it 10%?
Yeah, it's 10%. So if the limit's 30, then it's 33. If it's 70, 77, it's 10%, I think.
Okay.
Well, also, I think the way that that speeders are caught is different in the UK, right? There's not that many cameras. It's more a matter of how long you take to cover a particular distance and then you're timed or something like that, right?
We have a mix of the two of average speed cameras, which is what you're talking about, but also ones that flash you as well.
Okay.
And patrol units as well.
Yeah, there are plenty of patrol units. Oh, yes, that's the truth. All right, then, so thoughts on that, 4001. I'd be interested to hear what you think, particularly if you are on either of those roads, the 311 or the 611, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Road or the Emirates Road at the moment. Will it make a difference to you? Good news or not, as the case may be. Mohammed Suleiman, nice to see you. Thank you.
You too. Thanks very much.
This is Drive Live
on Dubai i 103.8.
Lots of texts in about the speed limit change, which is not surprising. Where to start with this? Dubai Road Solution, self-driving cars. Robots don't make mistakes. They're not programmed to do so. Maybe, but you need the software and it needs to be a blanket decision, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And we've only got self-driving cars, because if there are self-driving cars and drivers, the drivers are going to hit the self-driving cars.
If there's an accident, and then the driver will always be at fault. Omar has texted in. He says, speed measurements using a car speedometer is fraught with contention. These are indicators, not precision instruments. That's why there is a 10% tolerance in the UK, because the tolerance is on actual speed, not what's indicated by your car. So, 10% was right.
Yeah, sounds right. What about lane discipline? Lane hogging, that drives me insane when somebody's in one of the fast lanes going at 40 kilometres.
I do think it's a lack of understanding and training, though, in terms of how to use a road or a roundabout properly.
Maybe.
Roundabout is my pet hate as well.
Mm.
People unable to use a roundabout.
Tahir? See Tahir's text. People need to plan their journey, as in my experience, it's the main reason for accidents. If you are late, you increase the chance for an accident, which is something that Thomas Aylwin always says from road safety.
If you
he
rush.
Says, look, leave earlier.
Yeah, when we had the school safety and the buses and that kind of thing, and Sven does say speed reduction will not reduce the number of accidents until the majority of drivers become more courteous and consider their fellow road users. Now, bad drivers will spend 8% more time on the road. Not looking forward to that.
Tell me about it. So
interesting
story.
Calculation there, Sven.
120 to 110 on Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Road and the Emirates Road. And this is the whole stretch of road which is in the Emirate of Dubai as well. So if you're going into Sharjah,
you cross over, it changes.
Slightly different, or into Ras Al Khaimah or towards Ajman, then it does change. But it's going to be 110 from, was it the 15th of October, Mohammed said? It is. Texting just now, Shruti says, traffic on the E311 Jebel Ali bound just past Hesse Street. Didn't see a crash, though. Thank you very much for that. Another thing I wanted to cover. Did you... sorry, you're looking like you've got that kind of... I need to tell you something.
No, it's just when you said the 15th of October, it reminded me of two things. My dad's birthdays are on the 16th of October.
Did it remind you of your birthday, too?
Well, I'm coming to that.
Right.
Stay with me. So on the 15th of October is when this comes into effect. I should remember that day because it's in between my dad's two birthdays. He has one birthday on the 16th of October and one on the 14th of October. Because he has an older sister who was born on the 14th of October, a couple of years before him. My granddad was left responsible to register his birth. So my granddad went to the civic office in Manchester to register my dad's birth. And he was like, oh, when was he born? Because you have like a month to do it or so. So he went along and he tried to remember when my dad was born. He was like, 14th of October. That rings a bell. And that was because it was my auntie's birthday. It was his daughter's birthday. My dad was actually born on the 16th. So legally, by law, his birthday is the 14th of October. But really, he was born on the 16th of October.
Okay, so that's how you're going to remember the change in the speed limit.
Yeah.
Well, whatever works for you.
But
it is
nearly my
birthday. To, what is it, end of this month?
Yeah. And
just remind us.
Yeah, it's the 26th of September for anyone listening. Yes.
26th of
but
September.
I did see something today which reminded me of my birthday in all seriousness. It says people born in September are the most successful And there's a good reason for it. This is a study by researchers from the University of Toronto and the University of Florida and Northwestern University in Illinois, Chicago. So they basically said if you're born in September, you generally are the eldest in the year when you go to school.
That's true.
So you have lots of advantages. Yeah. Not only are you usually the tallest and gangliest, but being born in September reduces the chances that you'll end up in prison. It means that you're older, you find it easier to go to school, you have a different level of maturity, overall development, you have a slightly longer life, better life experience before you go. That means you're more confident, you're more likely to get ahead in class and the rest of your life. And this confidence becomes inbuilt over time, leading to a better school performance and more confidence in overall life.
Okay.
If you're born in August, unlucky.
Well, there you are. And also, if you're born at the end of September, good at blowing your own trumpet. Apparently. But that's actually true. Guess when I was born? Was I young for my year or old for my year?
Young for your year.
Exactly. And I knew you'd know that because it's obvious, isn't it, I suppose. But I was always very young for my year. My daughter is the same. My son kind of in the middle.
It's
but
tough.
That's the point. When you're, when you're a kid and, you've got a 9-month head start on some of the other kids in your year, that's a massive amount. It's not the same now, of course, but makes a difference.
Yeah, you sometimes can be a year older than some of your classmates almost, and that does make a difference, especially at such a young age, at 4. That's quite, the difference between 4 and 5 and 3 and 4 is quite big.
Yeah, quite right. Okay then, so what is it you want for your birthday? You might as well tell me now, because you've been rattling on about it for the last month.
Do you know what I'm a sucker for? A card, a nicely written card.
Really?
The present's less important. Yeah, if someone gets me a nice present but they've not got me a card, I'm a bit sad because I think the card is what's important. I would always open a card before a present and see that, because that's what I do. If I write a card, I like to write something in it with a bit of meaning and sort of, I'm quite sincere in cards. So,
Right. So the thought actually does count then?
Yes.
So if somebody was to write you a message and it was something you thought, oh, well, that's perceptive. They've actually bothered to think about me rather than
if
just go out and buy some flowers at a petrol station.
Day, no, but if they say happy birthday, this has been a great year, or hope this year's great, or blah blah blah, anything like that, I'm all for that bit of detail in the card.
See, I think that makes a lot of difference and it should make a lot of difference. Serena Kelly is here to do with news in a minute, but I'm guessing that you would agree with that.
No.
Really? You just want gifts?
I'm sitting here and I'm like, what?
Fair
you want you. A message in a card? It's like,
yes.
Natalie.
Are you being
deadly serious right
absolutely
now?
Absolutely serious. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think when I get if I get presents, so when I'm wrapping presents for other people, I take a lot of thought as to the card. Mm. I think about the kind of card that they would like to receive, and I think about the message that I write inside it. Yeah, I'm really into cards.
Do you know what? I don't do cards anymore because I feel that it's like flowers. You get the flowers, they die. Cards, most people will just throw them. I don't think there's a lot of people like you anymore on this planet that appreciate them.
Handwritten cards.
Yeah, I think
so
you're
nice.
A small group, a select group. And that's why...
A special group.
Yeah, but when my daughter has a birthday, I get her to make a card. Because I'm like, why am I going to spend over 40 dirhams on a 7-year-old's birthday card? I mean, maybe I'm exaggerating there, but still, it's a lot of money for cards here in the UAE.
They are expensive, but I do, and I keep them. I have like a memory box of nice cards and stuff, and there's one that I pulled out when I was moving house from my little brother, and it was from like 20 years ago, and just reading what he's written in it is so sweet. Really like it, so I keep stuff like that.
Sentimental
secret softy.
I got a card for my birthday this year from a friend, and it's a tartan card because she's from Scotland. It's my wife's mate and my mate. And it says, happy birthday, big man, on it, which is a Scottish phrase. But I want to keep the card because it's quite a nice card.
Yeah, see?
Inside it says something like, happy birthday, fugly, which is whatever it is. That's a pet name. Not really a pet name. But, it's a nice card. Sally, what about you?
I'm the same.
You
I've kept every card that I've ever received. I'm the
do
same.
You ever
I'm
look
just
at
like
them?
You.
Do you look at them?
Sometimes, if I'm like doing a big cleanup of my stuff, I will open up the box and just have a sentimental look at. I love them. I love the idea of somebody, because it doesn't happen much anymore as well, that somebody would sit down, take some thought, and write something beautiful and meaningful in a card. I think that's so beautiful.
I agree.
Same.
I'm trying to work out a text. Excellent. The Bentley's being returned as we speak.
Oh.
I think I get the joke. There you are.
This is Drive Live
on Dubai I 103.8.
All right. Then. Now, Dubai Financial Services Authority, the DFSA, says cryptocurrencies as they're known, should be regarded as high-risk investments. They've released a statement wishing to draw investors' attention to certain new and evolving online offerings like an initial coin offering, initial token offering, or token sale. The DFSA says the systems and technology that support these offerings, they're complex, they have their own unique risks which may not be easy to identify or understand. Peter Smiths, the Managing Director, Policy and Strategy at the DFSA, has these tips for those looking to embrace cryptocurrencies.
I think you need to look into what it is the people promoting the coin or the token are actually saying. What is it in what they're saying that will make the investment valuable? And some of these things are linked to underlying assets, but they need to understand what the assets are and where they're held and what rights they would have to access those assets if the investment itself didn't work. Some of these are linked to underlying economic activity. For example, linked to future production from some industrial process or a factory or a mine. And some of them aren't based on anything. They're based on an assumption that they will actually become a currency and that people will use them to buy and sell things. And again, investors need to be asking themselves, well, will this happen? Why should this happen? What is it there in the promoter's offering that will make this happen? And therefore, should I be investing in this? Will it have the value that these people are claiming it will have?
That is Peter Smith. He is Managing Director of Policy and Strategy at the DFSA. Tips if you're looking at cryptocurrency investment. The DFSA says that cryptocurrencies should be regarded as high-risk investments. Approach with care. And if it seems too good to be true, what's the word, NLT?
It usually is.
In the news. On the ARN. Do you want me to turn that off?
Yeah. Okay, high-risk for me because I don't understand them. So...
I'm reading
that. I can't invest in them.
No, but you get that all the time, and lots of people think the same thing. It is the understanding of these things. But what you find all the time is that people jump into things not without full knowledge of them.
Yeah.
Because obviously financial products are well sold.
People who are experts in the field, in the financial field, people like Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan, he said that it's an absolute, it's a scam. You know, he's saying that it is something not to be trusted. That's been big news this morning as well. So who knows where this is going to go?
All right.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.